Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I have four things that I want us to consider this morning about faith. Four comforting, and I believe to me these were truly comforting reminders about faith. Before we look at them, I want us to consider a few things first. A few things that we know. Number one, where it comes from. We know that faith is not of ourselves, right? That's what Ephesians 2, verse 8 says. This verse right here also tells us faith does not originate with us. It says he's the author of it. All right? He is the author of it. Faith is not of ourselves. It does not come from us. It's not something we can produce within ourselves. It has to be given to us. That's the first thing. It has to be given to us. So it does not originate with us. It's a gift from God. But then once it is given to us, it's not something that we can perform. All right? It's a gift to us. And once God gives it to us, it's not something we know how to use. Isn't that interesting? It's not something that we are capable of performing. This verse right here tells us he is the finisher of it. He's the author of it. He is the doer of it. Look with me at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he starts it and he performs it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So it starts with him and it's finished by him. Faith is. He gets all the glory for our faith, every ounce of the glory. Now, it is a gift that he gives to us. All right? It is our faith. He gives it, we receive it, and it's ours. It is our faith, but he gets all the glory for giving it. He gets all the glory for performing it in us, and we do give him glory. The reason is because it's a vital component of salvation. Look with me at Hebrews 11, one chapter before our text. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is vital for a sinner's salvation. Absolutely vital. Now, what is faith? What is faith? It's a gift. It's something he performs. It's a vital component of salvation, but what is faith? What exactly is the performance of faith, the action of it? People talk about exercising your faith. What is the doing of it? What are we doing when faith is engaged? Look at our text, Hebrews 12. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That's what faith is. That's all that faith does. That is salvation. That is the vital component of salvation. God causing a sinner to look to Christ. If you trust somebody, if you trust them, then you have faith in that person. You believe that that person is going to do what he tells you he's going to do. If you trust him, you have faith in the person. You trust his word. You trust his character. That's faith. That's faith. Don't turn over, but Psalm 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's a happy man who truly hopes and looks to Christ. Hoping in him, trusting in him. All right, now, all that being said, all of that being stated, four things I want us to enter into and remember four things about faith, four comforting things about faith. Number one, true faith is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and not looking to our faith. All right? True faith. We get so discouraged sometimes saying, I just don't have enough faith. Why don't I have enough faith? I just wish I could have more faith. What's wrong with me? Remember this. Faith is in whom? Faith is not in what? I know it'll be okay. Well, I just know it'll be okay. That's not faith. Faith is not in when. It's not in where. Well, I know tomorrow's a new day. That's not faith. Faith is not in how. I know somehow it's all going to work out. That's not faith. Faith is whom. You can substitute the word Christ for faith. You can substitute that word. You can completely interchange the word Christ for faith. Don't turn, but listen to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through Christ. And that is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Faith is whom? Look with me back at Hebrews 11, one chapter before. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now, Christ is the substance of things hoped for. You can sum up every single thing that a believer hopes for in this one word. Christ. Everything he hopes for. Christ is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know why we believe everything that he says he has prepared for all eternity? You know why we believe that? Because a man came and we trust him. We trust him. Verse 2 says, for by Christ the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, through Christ we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4 says, by Christ Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's the only way that can happen. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By Christ Enoch was translated that he should not see death. and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without Christ, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that Christ is, and that Christ is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No matter how discouraged we get, we could never say, I don't have any Christ. I just don't have any Christ. Faith is whom? That's the first thing to remember. Faith is whom? Faith is whom? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he is able. All right, here's the second thing. True faith is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and not looking to my own works. True faith is looking to Christ and not looking to my own works. Nothing that I see in this flesh, one way or the other, this is almost too amazing I had to stop a minute and go back through all this and say, is this right? Nothing that I see in this flesh, one way or the other, has any bearing on my holiness before God. One way or the other. Nothing that I see in this flesh, good or bad, right or wrong, it does not affect my righteousness before God one bit. Not one bit. Whether I'm proud of myself or whether I hate myself. Walk through this life, get to the end of my day, proud of myself for what I did today, or whether I hate myself for what I did today. It doesn't affect my purity in God's eyes. It does not affect my standing before Him one bit. Is that good news to anybody? Not one bit. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 30 says, But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. When it comes to my standing before God, it does not matter whether or not I'm the wisest person in this room or the greatest fool in this room. It does not matter one bit. When it comes to my standing before God, if of God I am in Christ, if God put me in Christ, it doesn't matter if I'm the wisest person in this room or the greatest fool in this room. And this is a side note. If I think I'm the wisest person in this room, I'm the greatest fool in this room. But it doesn't matter either way. If I belong to Christ, He is my wisdom. If I don't see in myself what I want to see, well, you know, the Lord has called me. The Lord has brought me to Himself. He's brought me to a knowledge of His truth, His gospel. I'm waiting now to see the fruit of it. I'm ready. I ought to see a better person. I'm waiting to see a better person. And I'm going to tell you this sincerely. I want to see a better person. I do. I really do. But whether I do or whether I don't, this verse says, He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. This is not an excuse to sin. Every true child of God will say with the Apostle Paul, God forbid. God forbid. It's not an excuse. But this is an amazing fact. This is true. This is a fantastic, wonderful declaration of the gospel. True faith looks to Christ and not our works. Not our works. Go with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Whenever you say that true faith looks to Christ and not our works, you naturally think, well, we have good works, but we're not looking to those. We'll set those to the side. Now, what this is saying is, we know what our works are. They're so discouraging to us. True faith understands that those works are not the works that God the Father sees on me. Christ took those works and laid them on himself. And God dealt with him over that. True faith looks to his works. Those are the works that have been laid on me. And the wonder of it all, the amazing news is, verse 6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. How on this earth can I believe that? It's called faith. Faith. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's just wonderful. Look with me. We saw this last Sunday morning in our Bible study. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not, that's our works. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. That is faith. That's true faith. Here's the third thing to remember. True faith is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and not our trials. Not our trials. As believers, this is what we say. I know trials are coming. All right? I know trials are coming. I'm convinced trials are coming. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to run and I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to look that trial right in the eyes. I'm going to run right into it. We're just going to be prepared for them. We're going to be ready for them. I'm going to toughen up. I'm convinced I'm going to come out on the other side. That's not faith. That is not faith. Go with me over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, Peter was in the middle of the trial. He asked the Lord, when he knew it was him, if he could come to him. He said yes, the trial was still going. And as long as he had his eyes on Christ, he walked on the water above the trial. The trial still wasn't over. As soon as he took his eyes off of Christ and he got him on the trial, he sank. And the Lord caught him and said, why'd you stop believing? The trial continued through the whole thing. I don't need strength to contend with the trial. I just need Christ. That's all I need. I don't need strength to contend with the trial. I only need Christ. He is my strength. He is my strength. Here's the last thing I want us to remember about faith. True faith is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not looking to his means. Especially when it comes to our desire. I have a great desire that others might come to know the Lord. I have a great, great desire that others might come to know this wonderful Lord. Our efforts in bringing people to his means. Now, he has chosen to use means. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He has chosen to use means. One man wrote this. It's author unknown. I don't know who it is. And this is fantastic. All right? This is fantastic. He said, we must not confuse the doctrines of grace. And I want to emphasize the word doctrines of grace and the means of grace with grace himself. Reading the Bible, prayer, worship, offerings, study and orthodoxy, baptism and good works are all means of grace and growth. But only looking to Christ as our all in all keeps them from becoming filthy rags. You understand what he said? All of these means of grace. Does the Lord bring a person to a knowledge of him through his word? Yes, he does. And does he use the preaching of the gospel to open a sinner's eyes? Yes, he does. And this man said, reading the Bible, prayer, worship, offering, study, baptism, they're all means of grace and growth. But only looking to Christ. I can try to set out the 5 points of Calvinism as clearly as I possibly can to a man on the street. And I will, if God gives me that opportunity. But I must know at that exact moment in time that this man is dead in trespasses and sins, and he cannot understand that this is the truth. He cannot believe it. I cannot rationalize somebody into salvation. God must do it. God must send that faith. It has to start with him. And outside of that looking to Christ, all of these precious works are filthy rags. All this reading of the Bible and all of this stuff, it's a filthy rag. Outside of totally looking to Christ, trusting Christ, waiting on Christ. We have family members that we want to know him. Tell them about Christ. Invite them to the services. Show them in the Word. You're hearing the wrong thing, all the while knowing if you don't do it, it won't be done. It won't be done. True faith is not looking to our faith. It's not looking to our own works. It's not looking to our trials. It's not looking to his means. True faith is looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. So I'm going to close. Go back to the text. This is our exhortation for the rest of our days on this earth. Verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keeping him in view, the rest of our race, keeping him in view, who he is, where he is, what he's done, that's faith. That's all we need. All right, you're dismissed.